The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformer's Reader.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Reformer's Reader. Today, we speak with a fellow columnist at HighTimes.com. She writes the Stoner Sex column. It's Hyapatia Lee who's on the phone with us. How you doing, Hyapatia?
I am great, sweetie. Thank you for having me. How are you today?
Well, I am fantastic, and I got to tell you, 16-year-old me from 1984 can't believe who I'm talking to.
Aw, bless your heart. That's so cool.
So, Hyapatia, tell us about the Stoner Sex column. How long have you been writing this column?
About 3 years now, a little over 3 years. I love it. I get all kinds of wonderful questions from people who are readers and write in with all their different questions about sex and how to enjoy sex while you're high, relationship issues, all those nice things. So I encourage everybody to please, if you have any kinds of questions, write to me. I'd love to hear all about it.
Yes, please do. And do these questions end up in a book? Have you written a book? Is there anything else we can read from you?
Yes, actually, I've written a couple books. My second book is due for release in the next few weeks. It does not include any of these questions from my Stoner Sex column, however. It's basically telling everybody about the Native American tradition of emotional strength. The book is titled Native Strength: The First Step on the Path to an Indomitable Life. So these are lessons that I have learned throughout the years, searching through my own personal ancestors, other Native American medicine men and women throughout this country and Canada, on traditional methods of maintaining emotional strength. And I have found that a lot of these methods incorporate the use of cannabis, which is totally understandable, because with cannabis, as you know, and as most of your listeners do, you can filter out all the bullshit. You can make the rest of the crap in life just shut up, go away for a minute, make all those stressors quiet themselves and relax while you can focus yourself. And a lot of times our world is so hectic nowadays. We don't have time, or we don't make the time to just sit there and focus on our lives, to reflect on the five areas and the five arenas of our life. In other words, family, political, economic, social, religious. All these different areas and aspects, and when I say sexuality, I'm not talking about just sex, but every creative aspect of our individuality. And as you know, cannabis can help us with our creativity. If we take the time to use cannabis, set aside a few hours, and maybe take a pen and paper and write down the things that we are doing in our life and focus, is this really what we want to be doing? Or we just put everything on automatic, because that's basically how life is. I mean, so many times we're so busy rushing from one thing to the other, you know, trying to maintain our sustenance, you know, make money, make sure our environment is safe, all those things, that we don't have time to stop and think, are we really focusing on what we want to focus on? Mm. When we get at the end of our life, have we spent our life on the things we want to spend our time on? And I think cannabis can help us with that. Wow. They can help us to prioritize.
Now
also can help us to relax and laugh and enjoy things, and that is very integral to life.
Absolutely.
Quality of life.
Absolutely. And
I'm
excited.
More important.
I'm excited about this book from the perspective, you know, a lot of people in the cannabis community have a little bit better understanding of our place in nature and how plants are involved with that, just because, you know, we've studied
exactly.
Cannabis so much. But the aspect of Native American teaching with respect to the emotional side of things, rather than just the medical, is really fascinating to me.
I think because there's been such a wonderful breakthrough with the many different things cannabis can treat, in particular post-traumatic stress disorder. I think cannabis, and I think this will be found very soon, it can help with so many other things that are emotionally impairing besides just post-traumatic stress disorder. The Native American community and philosophy is that inside of us, we all, whether we're male or female, we all have inside of us a little boy, a little girl, a man and a woman, and two wise elders. Most of the time, our life is consumed by what our adults are doing. They're running around making sure that our jobs are taken care of, that we are paying our bills, that we are feeding ourselves and our family. That's the job of the adults. But there are children inside of us that need to be paid attention to. They need to be able to enjoy life, or we will find ourselves in a state of unbalance where we are no longer able to force ourselves to work all the time. We will find ourselves rebelling. And if we don't give these inner children the time that they need to play and enjoy life, giving ourselves a quality of life, it becomes almost impossible for the adults inside of us, our adult personas, to take over and do the things we need to do to survive. Now, I haven't mentioned the elders. The elders are very important. They have the key to any question or problem that we may have. And so often we don't take the time to commune with these elders. Most of all, we don't even realize they're there or want to even acknowledge their existence. Our society wants us to reach out to a higher power, when oftentimes we don't realize that higher power is within ourselves.
Well put.
The inner elders, thank you, dear. Thank you so much. The inner elders have so many answers. And if we don't quiet the adults who are busy with the daily activities that we need to do to survive, if we don't quiet them, we won't be able to listen to the elders. Cannabis helps us quiet that.
Yes, yes. We're speaking with Hyapatia Lee. She writes the Stoner Sex column for HighTimes.com, and you can find her books on Amazon, I assume, and other locations.
Yes,
I did want to ask you about the similarities or differences between the two worlds, speaking particularly of sex and drugs. You know, both have been demonized. Mm-hmm. Both are natural human longings. What differences or similarities do you see in the fight for, say, liberating cannabis versus the fight of liberating and legalizing sex work?
My whole focus is on healing the mind, releasing endorphins and oxytocins in our brain that are naturally there. This is done through such things as sex, laughter, and by smoking cannabis.
Yes, yes.
They're all related. Music, other things that help us enjoy life and help us have a better quality of life. All of these things are integral. We can't just force ourselves to put our nose to the grindstone 24/7. There has to be some quality to life. Otherwise, it's just not worth living.
Well, do you see any...
I think sex is not only important for obvious procreation and those sort of things, but for personal enjoyment. It releases endorphins in the brain. It calms us. Cannabis does the same thing. It calms us. It helps us to better focus and center ourselves so that we are not so much at the effect of the other people in our environment and the natural environment itself.
What about any parallels with the role of women in both worlds, the empowerment of women, I guess? A lot of women in the cannabis community are looking toward it being the first industry that we get to build from the ground up that's not male-dominated. And then, of course, in the sex work industry, there's a whole dynamic involved there with women's empowerment. Do you see any parallels there?
I see some, but not as much. There's not as much female empowerment as I would like to see. There is still a glass ceiling in the greenhouse.
Okay.
I worked as a cannabis grower. I was in charge of quality control for one of the largest medical and recreational suppliers out here in Southern Colorado, where I live. And while the people that I worked for were very open-minded and nice and understandable and gave women more opportunities than most, I still found there's definitely a glass ceiling in the greenhouse. I'm sorry, but there still is. And in the adult entertainment industry, even though women who are in front of the camera tend to make more money than men in front of the camera, the women are still not as empowered as they could be. This goes back to my Native American, the way I was raised. I was raised by my grandmother. The Native American, most of the tribes, are matrilineal. They're gynocentric. They are ran by women, most of the tribes. There are a few exceptions, like the Chippewa, but 90-some percent. For example, when a man and a woman get married, the child's last name comes from the mother, not the father. That's why when I first married, my husband's name became Bud Lee. It's written in Wikipedia that this was done because I'm a feminist. No.
No.
It was done because he embraced my Native American heritage. He was open-minded.
That's beautiful.
And Lee is my great-grandmother's last name. This is the matrilineal heritage. We all know who our mothers are. We might not be so sure about our fathers.
That's true. Kind of hard to lie about that.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the most wonderful things that the adult entertainment business has done over the last several decades, well, for example, since 1980. In 1980, 2.4 women per 1,000 over the age of 12, rather, were victimized. They were raped that year.
Yeah.
Okay? This, in 2013, which is the latest statistics that we have, the rate was 0.4 per 1,000. That's a decrease of 85%. That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
I think this, and it corresponds with Denmark's legalization of prostitution and erotic entertainment. When they did that in the 60s, their sexual crime rates went down as well. And it just goes to show you, when you have a normal natural function like sexuality, if you try to stigmatize it, people are going to rebel. It's just not a natural thing to have sex looked at as sinful, dirty, to be reserved only for in marriage. Native American tradition is not like that. Native Americans believed in the natural sexuality of people. They understood that people were not going to save sex for marriage, if you will. They also understood that people divorced. In Native American culture, a woman only had to put her husband's belongings outside of the residence to symbolize they were divorced. People didn't get married for life. They did what was called a hand tying, and most often that lasted for 7 years. But at any time in that 7 years, you could separate. Far better to separate than to kill each other.
Yeah, there's a good point there. You know, I think it's fascinating the time we're living in where, you know, there's that parallel. Like, you know, back in my day, finding any sort of adult entertainment meant a lot of looking in back rooms and seedy places and bad VHS copies. Now, somebody who's a college freshman at UCLA, for example, has never existed in a time where they didn't have easy access to marijuana or porn. And what a different generation this is going to be.
Exactly. Exactly. Time magazine did an episode, or an expose rather, on the porn industry and how that has affected society now, and how a lot of people, a lot of guys in particular, in their, I don't know, 20s, 30s, are having a hard time enjoying sex pornography on the internet. Well, that's really not what sex is about. It's supposed to be something that you enjoy with the person that you love. And hopefully, the pendulum has swung enough both ways that we will eventually find ourselves in the center again, where sex is not such a big thrill. It's not the vulgarity of watching people explicitly having sex that turns us on, but rather pleasing our partner sexually that turns us on, the person that we care about.
Great stuff, and you can learn more about it every week on Hyapatia Lee's Stoner Sex column. Let's give people some contact information if they want to send in a question or correspond with you at all.
Absolutely. The fastest way to correspond with me is at hyapatialee@gmail.com. You can write to me directly that way, and I'll be happy to answer you or put your question in the Stoner Sex column, whichever you'd like. I also have a blog at hyapatialee.wordpress.com. As you mentioned, I have an Amazon author page, Hyapatia Lee. I'm also going to be at the Southern California Halloween Cup at the NOS Center in San Bernardino on October 7th through 9th. I'll be doing a presentation there about my book and how cannabis can help us with our mental health.
Right.
And I hate to use the term mental health. To me, it's more emotional strength.
Yes, October 7th.
It's just about being emotionally strong.
October 7th through 9th
it's gonna happen.
At the NOS Center, the Halloween Cannabis Cup. I think I'm going to put that down on my calendar, Hyapatia, and I'll meet you there.
Will you be there, sweetie? Oh, awesome. I would love to see you in person, darling. I'm such a big fan of you.
Oh, well, thank you. And I'm a big fan of yours as well. Thank you so much.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you, sweetie.
Hyapatia Lee's column appears on hightimes.com. Check that out. Hyapatia, Hyapatia. Thank you so much for joining us, Miss Lee. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, darling. You have a great day, and I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing you in person in California.
We'll see you on Halloween.
Thank you, sweetie. You take care.
All right, folks, when we return, we'll have time for a radical rant: how the red states need to reconsider medical marijuana and think about decriminalization first, when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.